to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Welcome to the show. Do you find yourself eating throughout the day, even when you're not hungry? Our next guest has spent over 15 years researching the psychology behind the food choices we make. She's a professor in the Department of Psychology at Boise State University and has written for leading psychology journals as well as the Huffington Post. She also provides workshops on body image, eating behaviors, and self-esteem. Please welcome to the show Dr. Mary Pritchard. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Welcome to the show, Doc.
Thanks. Welcome back to you on your own show.
Yeah, it's great. Appreciate it. There's two types of hunger, and we hear a lot about the physical hunger, but today we're talking about emotional hunger. Share with us what causes emotional eating and why is it such a big concern?
You know, here in the United States, David, we are the number one in emotional eating. You know, I don't know if that's something we want to be proud of, but it's so socially accepted in the United States. And basically, we are taught from a very early age that food is comfort. Food is love. And so when we get stressed out, we naturally tend to reach for whatever foods comforted us as child in childhood. And so we just kind of keep, with the stress increasing in our society today, we just keep reaching for those foods that provided us comfort in a time when we were younger and when life was simpler.
Right. Now, are females more prone to emotional eating than men? I mean, we always hear about the ladies turning to their two best friends, Ben and Jerry, during times of stress.
That is actually true. So there's different kinds of coping strategies. And men engage in certain kinds of coping strategies more than women do. So men, for example, tend to turn to alcohol or recreational drugs more than women do. Women tend to turn to food more than men do. And so there's something ingrained and socialized as we're growing up that makes us choose different coping strategies.
Right. Now, how can someone stop letting their emotions guide them? Obviously, it's a problem for a lot of our listeners. Is there a tip that you can say, hey, break this cycle?
So there's not one tip. I think it's a several-step process. And I think, you know, in talking to my students, my colleagues, my clients, people want an overnight solution. And you didn't become an emotional eater overnight. And so, unfortunately, it's not going to go away overnight. But what I tell my clients, the first thing you need to do is to really figure out what it is that you're craving. It's probably not a donut. You may think it's a donut, but it's probably not. Right? So it's love. It's, you know, you need a hug. It's, you need somebody to talk to. You know, for women, a lot of them can actually stop emotional eating if they would just pick up the phone when they find themselves reaching for their comfort food and call a friend and talk to that friend.
Right.
That is so much better for them physically and mentally than reaching for that food.
That makes sense. And if they need a hug, these people can just go to Krispy Kreme and go up to the cashier and say, I just came in for a hug.
Exactly.
This is what I really need. I don't need the donut. And she look at the lady like she's crazy and she just gets a hug and drives off.
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
key. That makes sense. Now, there's interesting another side of the coin where people have emotional problem, and it's a starvation mode. So people that get stressed or depressed boycott food. Share what makes people go in the opposite direction from emotional eaters.
So it really depends on what your family of origin did when you were a child. So people that enter starvation mode, so they don't eat when they're stressed. It's usually because when they were a child, there was a lot of stress around the dinner table or around feeding time. So people who end up with starvation mode usually don't eat when they're stressed because they physiologically would get sick. So their bodies are so keyed up that, of course, they don't want to eat if they know that that's going to make them sick. And so usually if we delve back into their childhood, we can find that it's probably because when they were kids at the dinner table, there was yelling, there was argument, there was criticism, and they began to associate food with stress, and so they actually don't want to eat because that's when their stomach clenches.
Well, that's a good point. Also, I've heard that, when you don't eat, it's a way to take control of your body. So a lot of people, that's a control effort to say, hey, I control this. And, of course, then you go to that next step with bulimia, anorexia stuff.
But, right.
You know, yeah, so that would segue that. Now, I read on your website that you believe the diet mentality is primary contributed to America's obesity epidemic. Explain that.
Yeah, I do. I do. I blame diets for just about everything. So it's the mentality that we are not good enough as we are. And the idea that there's got to be a quick fix and that this diet is going to save us. So basically, at some point, we decide that we're unhappy with what we look like. We imagine that our life is going to be better if we could just, you know, fill in the blank, lose 10 pounds, stop emotional eating, wear a smaller dress size. So we decide that we're going to go on a diet to make that happen. And you'll notice that the first three letters in the word diet spell die. So that's kind of what I think of that.
Yep.
But then inevitably, because diets for most people equal deprivation, it sets us up for failure.
Right.
Many,
and, you know, it makes sense that you have to embrace a lifestyle change, not one particular, I'm going to count calories and then it's going to change my life. And, you know, and then that's including addressing the emotional component is why are they going on a diet? Are they trying to escape from stresses? Well, you know what?
Exactly.
You're going to come right back to the stresses. So there's that brings us back full circle to what you were talking about, the emotional. Counting calories isn't going to get rid of the stress you have in a marriage relationship or work.
No, it is not.
Counting bullets might. When you, so I'm going to get my boss. So that's good. Explain to the listeners about your, it's called your Do or Diet program. What is that about?
So basically what I do is I take men and women who have lived with the cycle of dieting and guilt for so long that they don't know any better. They don't know that there's an alternative to it. So when I say cycle of dieting and guilt, I'm talking about this idea that we go on the diet, we set ourselves up for failure, we binge, we emotionally eat, we feel guilty, so then we start the next diet, hoping that that's going to be the miracle cure, and of course it isn't. And so this becomes this perpetual cycle where we're dieting for, you know, more often than we're not dieting. And so I take people that have that mentality, and the first thing I do with them is try to identify the real problem. So where did this come from? And so when did you lose touch with who you really are? When, at what point did you begin to say to yourself, I have to be somebody else, and a diet's going to be the way to get there? The weight loss, the whatever, is going to be my vehicle to get there. And, you know, when did I stop feeling desirable? When did I start feeling like I wasn't worthy of somebody else's love unless I looked a certain way?
Right.
Or when did I lose control, right? So like you said, for a lot of people, it's a control issue. When did I lose control? And so once we've identified that critical point, because for most people, they can actually, if they think about it hard enough, can remember a time or multiple times in their life when they turned to dieting for reasons that were not the healthiest, you know, like emotions or stress or wanting to please somebody else. And then
right.
we take them, you know, through the program, which basically I help them take charge of their life. I help them feel empowered again. I help them feel desirable and comfortable in their own skin. And I help them ultimately realize the gift that they really are, to get in touch with their own inner beauty rather than comparing themselves to an unrealistic standard that's
wow.
in the media.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. For more great information provided by Dr. Pritchard, you can visit her website at marypritchard.com. And make sure you read her guest articles on our website at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Don't go away. We have more great healthy tips on how you can achieve optimal health coming up after the short commercial break. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at To Your Good Health Radio. And you can always talk to Dr. David Friedman on Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. Stay tuned. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. Friedman.